Unsettling Cartographies by David Garcia. My professional background is in geography, geospatial analysis, and spatial planning. My ongoing work explores conditions of spatial vulnerability and risk, including conflict, the climate crisis, and colonialism. As a mapmaker, I respond out of necessity, given that these issues affect my peoples materially, spiritually, economically, and more. I am a native Kapampangan and Tagalog from the Philippines, living in Aotearoa, on Fenua of Kaitahu, who are my relatives as Austronesians. Here I present 5 maps, reflecting on the fluctuations, tangents, and developments within my map-making practice over the past 3 years, due to many sources of inspiration, including professional, artistic, civic, and academic work, as mediated by networked and digital information technologies, and supported by the collectives I belong to. The first map introduces Austronesian connections between the Sea of Islands of the Pacific and Indian Oceans. Here in Aotearoa, I've noticed very similar words used by Tangata Fenua, speaking Tereo Māori, to those spoken back home in the Philippines. I find it amazing to experience these connections. Our wayfinding peoples have been expanding over thousands of years and kilometers. This map, which is inspired by the stick charts of our relatives in Lolelaplap, the Marshall Islands, is a deep and dynamic relational time-space that does not treat history and geography as a mere background. Rather, the relationships themselves make up the time and space which we navigate. I used my bed as a background. The original stick charts are educational tools for young wayfinders on land before they set out on the ocean. I made this one to illustrate our oceanic connections as Austronesians, whose cultures originated from southeastern Taiwan thousands of years ago in front of us. The second map is an articulation of a possible future, but one which I hope will never arrive. I made it during a phase in my life when I was filled with climate grief and very worried about the future of the Pacific and its peoples. For some, the storytelling of loss and damage is an important tool for raising awareness. However, I think and feel it can also be a trap in itself, because it is the very idea of salvation that has been at the core of colonialism. I made this map to express the overwhelmingly sad emotions I felt witnessing the globalizing world accelerate towards climate change and expecting folks like me to fade away. Today, I acknowledge the capacity of this map and this way of thinking to re-traumatize, and for this reason, regard it as a stumbling block on the way to ethical and effective climate action. The third map is a reflection on my career in the humanitarian industry. I used to work full-time in the cities and communities hit by disasters and war in the Philippines. My journey as a mapmaker has also involved working for international organizations on reconstruction and resilience initiatives. I have seen a lot of what actually happens in these places. According to Tyon J. Coleman, a poem can be a map to express what cannot usually be rendered in conventional digital cartography. As my work moves away from conventional cartography, I am continually inspired by Jim Enot, a Zuni mapmaker who said, "There are maps in songs and in prayers. There are maps that are etched in stones and woven into textile and painted in ceramics." The fourth map is an inversion of typical crisis mapping. Over the centuries, places and peoples in the global south, including those in the Philippines, have been painted as inhabiting red zones and dangerous lands full of disease, poverty, and emergencies, as explained by the historical geographer Greg Bankoff. In cartography, during the Renaissance, this ideology of rendering non-Western places as unsafe has manifested in the depiction of map monsters during a time when Europeans were defining themselves through judging the humanity of the other. Sureka Davis, an historian of art, science, and ideas, talks about the deeply embedded historical basis for this being, seemingly a mere embellishment practice that in fact helped provide justification for colonial projects. In other words, if you, as a European power, did not like another country, then paint them like an octopus. Such problematic practices persist today. What is usually not met in mainstream map-making is the role of colonialism and imperialism in the reproduction of crises. Whether through humanitarianism, militarism, developmentalism, or environmentalism. This is translated into modern geospatial dashboards, which are digital interactive visualizations of geographic information that again depict mostly the global south in a state of permanent emergency and in need of intervention and so-called development and progress. I felt compelled to offer my own intervention into this. Subverting their own cartographic traditions and propaganda, here is the United States Empire as a map monster, which has hundreds of military bases and countless geopolitical operations such as intelligence, diplomacy, espionage, and aid worldwide. The fifth map is about desire. Professor Eve Tuck has cautioned against the centering of damage in dealing with native and indigenous issues. Instead, she proposes to express desire. My desire, as a native Kapampangan and Tagalog, as well as an Austronesian, is to see our descendants in the future behind us enjoying life and the galaxies. The following map is about oceanic futurism, which has been largely inspired by indigenous futurism and Afrofuturism. Borrowing an image from the James Webb Space Telescope, here it looks like the seafloor because, for my peoples and relations, the ocean is the universe, is the ocean. In the future behind me, I would like to decenter the visual through unmapping, as mentioned by Professor Tauli Goff, whose work is in making auditory, gustatory, and many more kinds of spatial memories possible. With my relations, I am creating a collaborative playlist on Spotify called Astronesia. I hope to meet you there.